We are holding Kuflamen Aleph on the base, three lines from the bottom. All right, talking more about Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva, otherwise known generically as Matones, which is the subject of our parable. The Gemara says, Ula have a Yohiv Matnosa L'Kahanta. Ula used to give his Matones, his Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva, to a Bas Koyin. He held, as we're going to see in the Gemara, to a Bas Koyin, to a daughter of a Koyin. He held that it doesn't have to, and Rashi explains, actually, even if she's married to a Yisroel. Unlike Truma, where Truma can only be eaten by Koyanim, he held, given that Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva does not have Kedusha, as we're going to discuss in the Perek, that anybody is allowed, it is Mutar to Zorim. So therefore, so okay, she may be married to Yisrael. She may be considered a Zor at this point as far as Truma. She's still entitled to Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva. So he held that you can eat. So Rava asks Ula, I have a contradiction. A Braita says, Minchas Kohenes Necheles, it's a Mishnah in Sota actually, the Mincha of a Kohenes, of a Bas Kohen, is eaten. Minchas Kohen Eina Necheles, whereas a Mincha of a Kohen is not eaten. Namely, the Torah tells us, V'chol Minchas Kohen Kolol Tia Loi Se'ochol, that any Mincha brought by a Kohen, whether for any purpose, whether it's Minchas Nedava, whether it's Minchas Koite, etc., it's awkward. Instead of, we learned in Menachos, instead of taking the koimus of it and burning only the koimus on a Mizbeach, the entire thing is burnt on a Mizbeach. As opposed to, though, the Mincha of a Kehenes is not like that. The Mincha of a Kehenes is like the Mincha of any other Yid. You take out a koimus, burn it on the Mizbeach, and the rest of the Kohenim. So the question is, the Amit Koyen, Basilu Kohenes. Now, if you're going to tell me that the word Koyen, what does it say here by Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva? We're not talking about Koyen as Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva. So if you're going to tell me that the word Koyen can even include a Bas Koyen, well then, by the same token, by the Mincha, it says the same thing. It says any Mincha of a Koyen has to be burnt completely and cannot be eaten. So what would be the difference? Why would you say that you could give Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva to a Bas Koyen, but on the other hand, the Mincha of a Bas Koyen isn't burnt? So that was the question. So Ula answers him, Rebbe Matunach. So first of all, Rebbe, I mean, Rebbe is not actually Ula's Rebbe. In fact, he's younger than him, but he's calling him Rebbe out of respect. But Matunach, there's a number of places in Shas where that expression is used. Usually Rashi translates it as it means me Tunach. It means from your burden. In other words, you have, so to speak, like a burden, like you brought into the Beis Medrash a certain proof, and I will use that proof to show that actually it's the other way around. So from your own burden, from what you yourself brought in, I'll prove to the contrary. Over here, Rashi translates it differently. Over here, Rashi parses out the word as motu noch. Motu means to reach, and noch means you. So in other words, we've reached you. In other words, like we've been able to reach. Either way, the point is that it's a way of
saying. It means a Bas Kohen.
So Rava is arguing that if you're telling me that a Kohenes is allowed to receive Matonis, then also her Mincha ought to be burnt because it should be considered Minchas Kohen. And if not, then not. So what's the difference? So he's telling him Matunach, which means either, again, from your burden, from the very source that you're bringing as a question, I'll give you the answer. Or it means, as Rashi says over here, he got Sikha, I've reached you. In other words, I have an answer for what you're telling me. The reason is, Aaron of one of Parasha, because when it comes to a Mincha, it doesn't just say Koyin. That Parasha, that section that talks about the Mincha in Parashat Tzav begins with Zoyis Parasha Mincha Hakri Voisa Bnei Aaron, the Gemara. So there it mentions Aaron and it mentions his sons. So therefore, that means that we have a miyuk that it doesn't apply to female Kohen, to wives or daughters, not wives, to daughters of Kohen. But when it comes to Matnas Kohona, when it comes to Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva, it doesn't say Bnei Aaron at all. It just says V'nosam L'Koyin, Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva L'Koyin. So you're asking that it should be the same thing because by both of them it says Koyin, but the difference is that by Mincha it says Bnei Aaron. So therefore you have a miyuk that it doesn't apply to women, whereas you don't have such a miyuk by Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva. So therefore you can give it to them. Okay. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught, on the other hand, that's it. So Rabbi didn't answer that. So that's it. So he accepts all those positions. Yeah. Yeah. On the other hand, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a braisa. No, on the other hand, the pasuk says koyin means veloy kohenes. The Yom is Sosum Minam Perch. Tonet Rabbi Shmuel says you have to learn what's unspecified from what's specified. In other words, by the Mincha, the Pasuk says V'chol Mincha Koyin Kolotia, and a few Pesukim earlier it says who is under the definition of a Koyin for that purpose, Bnei Aaron. So therefore, Tonet Rabbi Shmuel says by the same thing over here, even though it doesn't say Bnei Aaron over here by Zroel Chayim V'keva, since it says Koyin, we learn what's unspecified over here from what's specified over there, and therefore it would only apply to male kohenim. So Tosfos discusses two possibilities. Are we talking about davka if this bas kohen is married to a zor, to a yisrael, or to a levi, that Tonet Rabbi Shmuel would say you can't give her the matonet, but maybe if she's single, then you could, in the same principle as she could eat truma.
Right.
On the other hand, Tosfos says maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel would say that she's completely excluded. Okay, so we don't know. Whatever it is, Tonet Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Ola. Okay.
It seems you both.
Well, could be. Again, there's two possibilities. First, accept them both as possibilities. On the other hand, Dvei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Tana, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, they taught that no, Kohen v'afkilu Kohenes. No, what it is like this. The word Kohen does mean even a Kohenes. In other words, he says like this. Usually, you're right. He takes sort of a middle position between Ula and Tonet Rabbi Shmuel. Ula is saying there's nothing over here to exclude Bnois Koyanim, therefore they're included. Tonet Rabbi Shmuel is saying, Yomot Sosim and Amaphodesh. Tonet Dvei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is saying like this. It's true. Normally the word Koyan means only male Koyanim. But over here you have two Miutim in the Pasuk. Because you have, the Pasuk says, V'zei Yemishpat HaKoyanim. And then later on it says, V'nasam LaKoyin. So you have two miyotim. Have a miyot acham miyot. It starts off, V'zei Yemishpat HaKoyanim, Me'etam. Then it finishes off, V'nasam LaKoyin, Hazroi LaFayam Rakeva. So, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, in that case, then we have two miyotim, have a miyot acham miyot, V'ein miyot acham miyot, Elul Rabbis. And one miyot after another comes to include, and therefore that's another. So he arrives at the same din as Ula, but by a different means. By saying because
he
you have two, he arrives miyot acham miyot, whereas Ula is saying there's nothing in the first place to exclude a bas kohen. So what's the napkin?
There is, because it says kohen.
Ula held, but the word kohen in and of itself does not exclude women. The Dvei Rabbi Lezman Yaakov holds that it does. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel does hold that it does. Ula does not have to hold that way. What's the nafkamina between them? A big nafkamina is on the question, would you be allowed to do pidyon aben with a bas kohen? On the one hand, according to Ula, you could argue, yeah, it doesn't say anything explicitly in the pasuk that you can't do pidyon aben with a bas kohen. It just says that you have to give a kohen, it just says you have to give five shloim to the kohen. So again, according to Ula's logic, you could say that women are included as well. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Shmuel, definitely not. According to Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, also not, because there you don't have a miyut acham miyut. So there is a Tosfos elsewhere that discusses the question. There's a Gemara someplace, I think in Ksubas, that mentions that Rav Kahana took a scarf in payment to Pidyon HaBen. Because we'll learn in Bechoris, one of those topics in the Sefer Bechoris, that Hashem is going to be the genome of Pidyon HaBen, and we'll talk about it, but there technically you don't actually have to give the Kohen five silver coins. You could actually give him something that's worth that same amount. So there's a Gemara that mentions that Rav Kahana took a cloak or a scarf or whatever as pidyon aben. So the question is it that he himself was a kohen? And we're going to see now in the Gemara that there is.
Can you do it today, then?
Yeah, in principle, yeah, you could. Yeah, well, as long as it's worth five shloim. I mean, a scarf nowadays normally isn't worth that much, but whatever. The point is that you could give him something of value that, Well, again, we'll learn about it in Masechta Bechoros, but anyway, there's a Gemara that says that Rav Kahana did that. So the question is, do we mean that Rav Kahana himself was a Kohen, or do we mean, Tosfos discusses over there a possibility, maybe Rav Kahana is a Yisrael, as we're going to see now in the Gemara, there was a Rav Kahana who was a Yisrael married to a Bas Kohen, and in that case, he's taking it on behalf of his wife, in which case that would show you could do Pinyin Aben with a Bas Kohen, with a Bas Kohen. So that would be the difference between Ula's and Dvei Rabbi Lezman Yaakov's opinion. In practice, we're not knowing to do it with a woman because of the topic. I think the post can say if there's no male koyanim around, there's only a bas koyan, then fine, you do the pidyon aben without a bracha. Okay. More on this topic. Rav Kahana ochel b'shvil ishto. Rav Kahana ate the zroi l'chayayim b'keva because of his wife. So Rav Kahana was a yisrael. But his wife was a bas koyan, so he ate zroi l'chayayim b'keva because of his wife. because again, he held like Ula, that Kohen means Bapilu Kohenes. Tosis points out there are a number of Rav Kahanas in the so it isn't Kedushin, the Rav Kahana who took a sudur for Pinyin Aben, and Tosis discusses over there the possibilities, is it that he was a Kohen, or is it that this is the same Rav Kahana as here? But there's a number of different Rav Kahanas in Shas. Some of them were Kohenim and some of them were not. So the one over here obviously was Yisrael. Okay. Rav Papa also b'shvil l'shur. Rav Papa was also married to a bas Kohen, so he also ate zroy l'chayayim b'keva because of his wife. And Rav Yema also b'shvil l'shur. And Rav Idiba Ovin also b'shvil l'shur. So all four of these amirayim. Fine. So fine. The halacha is like Ula, as we see from these four amirayim. As far as Pidyon HaBen, not necessarily, because that depends on the understanding of the Gemara over there in Kedushin, but on whether we follow Ula or we follow Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in this. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov here also says that a bas Kohen can get it, but only Zroy L'Chayayim Bekeva. He wouldn't apply it to Pidyon HaBen. Yeah. So okay, but these four Amoroyim were all married to Benos Kohenim, and they all ate Zroy L'Chayayim Bekeva because of their wives. In what way does that work exactly? One idea is that the wife is moichelet to her husband. Another idea is that the husband is zoicha and everything that is. That she's moichelet to her husband, yeah.
What is she moichelet?
What do you mean, what is she moichelet? She's a bas Kohen. She's the one entitled to it. But she's entitled to be moichelet to her husband to give it over to him so that he can eat it. And there's a couple of different explanations exactly how the mechanism of it works, but that's how it is. Okay, fine. Anything that she has, the husband is entitled either as nichsa malug or nichsa tzayin baris. Okay, I mean this isn't really one or the other. I mean it's not really nichsa malug or nichsa tzayin baris, but whatever. You can say that she's moichel to her. She wants it on behalf of her husband. Okay. Omer Ravina, Omer li Maremer, Hilchas HaKavasei D'Rav. So Maremer told me, says Ravina, the halacha is like Rav. Now this is the same thing we had at the bottom of the previous Omer. We already said that, Maremer said that. Here we're repeating it over because Ravina wants to say those two dinim as well as two other ones that we didn't have before. So number one, the halacha is like Rav. As we said earlier, that there's a suffix whether Levim are chayev in Zroy L'Chayayim B'Keva or not, and therefore we don't force them to give it. By the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch, and it brings a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and the Ramah, what happens if the Levi has Zroy L'Chayayim B'Keva, he didn't give it to the Kohen, let's say the Kohen grabbed it from him. Now, do we make the Kohen give it back or not? So now the Hamoitz Mechaber L'Varaya, the shoe is on the other foot. So one way of looking at it is we should force him to give it back because it's a suffix whether the Levi had to give it or not. On the other hand, it's in his Rishos. So you have machlokas apostim on that one. Anyway, so the halacha is like Rav, that it's a suffix whether a Levi has to give Zoril Chayayim B'Keva, therefore you can't take it away from him. Also, the Hilchta Kavaseid Rav Chista, the halacha is like Rav Chista that we had at the beginning of the Perek, that if a person is mazik, the matnes kohono, or he eats them, then he's potter from pain. Also, now, here's the point why we're repeating this again, because we want to say more dinim, the Hilchta Kavaseid Ula, the halacha is also like Ula in our Gemara, that you're allowed to give Zoril Chayayim B'Keva to a bas Kohen. And also, and also, by the way, Ravina says you should know, as far as another din involving Kohenim, the halacha is like Rav Ada Ba'ava, which is, he says, we'll learn it in Bechoris, Leviya Sheyolda B'na Potter Mechamish Soim. If a Bas Levi gives birth to a Bechor, that Bechor is Potter from Pidyon HaBen. Now, actually, Rashi explains that there are actually two different understandings in the Chorus of the statement of Rav Ada Bar Abba. One, this that we're saying, that a Bas Levi, so the son is culture from Pidyon HaBen, there's two ways in the Gemara and the Chorus of understanding it. One is that it does not apply if her husband is Yisrael, because then the child should be chayiv in Pidyon HaBen because his father is Yisrael. The only case where we would say that it's culture is if the father was a goy. The other way of looking at it, because then there's no chiyuv from the point of view of the father, because he's a guy. There's no chiyuv from the point of view of the mother, because she's a bas Levi. So therefore, that would be the only case when he's father. That's one way of understanding. Yeah, that's one way of understanding Rav Ada Bar Abba. The other way of understanding Rav Ada Bar Abba is that it applies across the board. Bas Levi is always father from Pidyon HaBen, whether her husband is Yisrael, whether she had relations with a guy, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The child is father. So we're saying the halacha is like Rav Ada Bar Abba, meaning, like, as Rashi says, like Mar Breda Rav Yosef's understanding of Rav Ada Bar Abba, that it means even if her husband is Yisrael. And the reason is because Pidyon HaBen depends on Peter Rechem. And here, Hur Rechem, she's a Bas Levi, so Hur Rechem belongs to the tribe of Levi, effectively, and therefore she's Potter. Okay. Fine. Turn it above. Has Zoyal of Al-Chayayim Va'akeva knowing the Kilayim of a Kohen? This din of Zoyal Chayayim Va'akeva applies to Kilayim, applies to an animal that's a hybrid of, let's say, a sheep and a goat. You'd still have to give Zoyal Chayayim Va'akeva from it to a Kohen. Over koi, and it also applies to a koi, which we learned earlier in our Masechta, in the fifth perek, in perek Oisibes, you know, we talked about, is a koi also a hybrid between a domestic animal and a wild animal, for example, between a goat and a gazelle, or is it a beria b'fnei asma, is it some other species that the Chachamim weren't sure whether it's a chaya or a bang? So either way, the point is that we're saying Zoy l'chayayim v'keva applies to it. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. Kilayim abomina ezim and arocho chayiv batonis. If it's kilayim from two domestic species, a goat and a sheep, yeah, chayiv batonis, then it's chayiv batonis no matter what, because then either way, whether you go according to the father or you go according to the mother, it's still part of seh, and the pasuk says that you have to give it from shur or from seh. On the other hand, minach tayish or minach tviya, or marshal changes that from minach to bakoi. If we're talking about the bakoi, potter minach matonis, then it would be potter from matonis. So we have to figure out why should a koi be potter from matonis according to Rabbi Eliezer, or according to the girsa that we have here in parenthesis minach ez and minach rochel. That if it's from a hybrid, minach tayish minach tviya, rather that if it's a hybrid of a goat and a gazelle, why should it be potter from matonis? But let's consider. Mechti Kaimalan. Now let's consider. We know for a fact in that sugya of Oseb Espinoi, when we discussed all the ins and outs about the koi, we said over there, in Kisli Adam Umatonis, that we discussed, we had this machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim regarding Matonis and also regarding Kisli Adam, also whether you have to cover the blood, where they were the other way around. You only have to cover the blood if it's a wild animal, not if it's a domestic animal. So we said over there, the only scenario that you can find where Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are going to be arguing about both of these dinim is elabit tzvi habar l'tiyosha, only when the male was a gazelle, or deer, or whatever a tzvi is, and the female was a goat. And the point is, obein le Rabbi Eliezer, obein le Rabbanan misafke lehui choshen lezera ab kein choshen. Now both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim have a suffix, whether we say choshen lezera ab, do we possibly take into consideration the father's contribution to the baby? Now in this case, the father is a wild animal. So therefore, when it comes to matonis, we would say so when it comes to matonis, we're not sure, do we consider this animal to be half tzvi and half tayish, half goat, or do we consider it to be all goat?
Depending whether
we hold choshen lezera'av or not. So either we consider it half gazelle and half goat, or we consider it all goat.
Right.
That's why they'd have a suffix. And so what would be the machlokas? It would serve afilu mikpasek mikli. The argument between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is on the question when the Pasuk says by matonis that you have to give them from a seh, does that apply even if it's only part seh? Namely, mar sover serve afilu mikpasek seh. So the Chachamim who say that Zoyal Chayayim Bekeva have to be taken from a koi would hold that the word seh in the Pasuk means even if it's only part seh, that's the point. The word seh can mean as long as it has some seh in it. So therefore, again, if we say, so it depends. So regardless, whether if we say choshen lezera'av, then this animal is half seh and half something else. If we say ein choshen lezera'av, then it's 100% seh. So either way, you would have to give matonis from it. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer would hold, and Mar Sava Sev after the Mitzvah Sela Yamrinim. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer would hold, we don't say that. So therefore, we would say in other words that because he doesn't hold Sev after the Mitzvah Sela. No, he's not sure whether Choshem is Ara. But therefore, what it means is this animal might be 100% Sev, or it might be 50% Sev and 50% Tzvi, in which case, Rabbi Eliezer would hold that as far as the din of Zroel Chayayim Bekeva, it doesn't count as a seh at all, because it has to be 100% seh to be considered to be chayiv in that. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would say the suffix whether it's chayiv, and Hamos Mechaveil of Araya, therefore you can't make him give it. So the question is, So if we understand it that way, and we also discussed it over there, we also discussed over there how this would play out as far as Kisi Adam as well. because you have a similar concept over there, because the pasuk says that if you shecht a chayah or oif, so again, do you consider this to be part chayah or do you not? Anyway, so okay, so b'shleimah.
What did you conclude over there about that?
So that's what we said. We had a machlokes over the Ezra and then Rabbanan on this point.
And
that's it. I mean, the halacha is like the chachamim, not a koi. You do need to do kisya adam because of a suffix. But it's only a suffix, and for that reason, for example, you're not allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov, because you can't dig up dirt, or you're not even dig up, whatever we're talking about, even if you have loose dirt or whatever, you can't do it on Yom Tov because of the suffix. Okay. The Shlema Rabbi Eliezer de Potter. So I can understand, according to Rabbi Eliezer, then, who says that Kilayim is Potter. So again, okay, we know why, Kasava Sevela Mixa Seh. Okay, because he says that the animal has to be 100% Seh. Anything less than 100% is not a Seh, therefore it's not Chayev. But we have to ask according to the Rabbanan, if they're saying, and we establish that the Rabbanan have a suffix whether this animal is considered all seh or only half seh. But either way, whether it's all seh or whether it's half seh, if it's all seh, then it's chayev in all of the matronas. If it's half seh, it should be chayev in half of them. So according to the Rabbanan, el Rabbanan, nehi nami jikasavi seh after the mitzvah seh. Granted, the chachamim hold that the word seh can include maybe only something that's part seh. Fine, but either way, Pauga Lishko, why shouldn't the Koyan be automatically entitled to half the Matonic, half the Zeruya, half the Chayayim, half the Keva, and the Idach Pauga? As far as the other half, fine. Leimalei Aisi Raya, Dein Choshin Lazera Abushko. Fine. As far as the other half, we could tell the Koyan, I'm Oitzim Achabrela Varaya, you want the other half, you have to prove that Ein Choshin Lazera Av, and you can't do that. But fine, according to the Chachamim, why are we saying that it's Chayav, implying that it's Chayav 100% of the Matonic? Why should it be? Why should it only be Chayav 50%? The answer is Amar of Huna Bachia, my chayev, nami to call him a chayev b'chatzi matonis. You're right. You know what? When the Braisa says that you're chayev in matonis, the Braisa hadn't used the word chayev. The Braisa had used the word noyagim b'kalayim of a koi. So noyagim doesn't have to mean that you give 100%. It means the din is applicable to them, but not fully. It's applicable in that you have to give 50%.
So
you'd be chayev just half, yeah. Chayev b'chatzi matonis, yeah. Massive Rav Zera, however, Rav Zera says, I have a problem with that. I have a contradiction to that from a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Bikurim, Koi yeshba drachim shavin lebehema. A koi has certain ways in which it's like a behema. The yeshba drachim shavin lechaya. On the other hand, there are certain dinim. And the Rambam, by the way, stresses, we're not talking about over here the biological fact. Biologically, the animal is depending. If we say that the koi is half and half, or if we say that it's a creature that we're not sure whether it's a chai or a behemoth, it is one or the other. But we're talking about as far as the dinim it has a suffix. So it has certain dinim in which it's like a behemoth. The yeshbe drachim shavim l'chaya. It has certain dinim in which it's like a chaya. The yeshbe drachim shavim l'chaya v'lo behemoth. Then it has dinim in which it's like both. And then the Mishnah continues. It has dinim in which it's like neither. So what are some examples? Kesad. Kelboy also kachelav behema. The chelav of it is also to eat, as if it was a behema, because we might have considered it a behema. The doma chayav lachasis kedama chaya. On the other hand, you have to do kisi adam on it like a chaya, again, because of the suffix. This is obviously according to the chachamim, not according to Rabbi Yezer. And drachim shavim lebehema lebachaya. In what ways is a koi like a behema and like a chaya both? The blood of it is also, which is true of both behemoths and chayas, and the gidah nosha of it is also, which is also true of both of them.
We had a whole discussion about that.
Well, yeah, but the point is, in other words, that was that. Yeah, anything that has a calf, we said, anything that has a calf, that has a rounded muscle over there, yeah. And the Braita continues, v'chayev b'zroyo l'chayayim b'akeva. Now, this creature, this koi, is chayev in zroyo l'chayayim b'akeva. Like a behema, Rabbi Eliezer pointer, whereas Rabbi Eliezer says it's potter. Now over here, when you say chayev implies that, so it's one thing Tosfos says before, it said noyagim, which implies that something of it applies to it. So okay, we could say it means only 50%. But over here, chayev, no, it is an obligation on the 50%. But over here, on the half of it. But over here, yeah, because noyagin implies that you don't necessarily have to give the whole thing, but you do have to give some of it. But over here, chayev, b'zroy l'chayayim b'akeva, sounds like it's chayev in the entire thing. So if you're going to tell me what Rav Huna Bar Chiya is saying, that you only chayev in half, then chayev b'chatzi matonis mibarle, it should say that you only chayev in half the matonis. Why are you just saying chayev, which implies that you're chayev in all of it? The answer is okay. I did a ton of chel b'vadomai. Okay, but the reason why it phrases it this way, because previously the Mishnah mentioned the chelev and the blood of it. deloy misni chasi chasi. Now there you can't very well say that only half of it. You can't say that half of it is also and half of it is not. You have to say all of the chaylev is also and all of the dam is also. Therefore, when it comes to Zoray L'chayayim V'keva, it also doesn't mention half, but in fact, you tassel would only be half, you would only be chayiv in half, because of the suffix on the other half.
Over there, the dam is asur.
The dam is completely asur. The chaylev is completely asur, yeah. You don't say that half the chaylev is asur, because the suffix behemah and half of it is motif, yeah. But over here, it could have said that you're chayav b'chatzim asonis, but the Braita didn't spell it, the Mishnah rather didn't spell it out, because after all, the Mishnah was making it similar to chaylev and dam. Just like by chaylev and dam, we just said that the chaylev of it is author and the dam of it is author, so therefore it also says the masonis if it has to be given, without getting into percentages. Okay, Tosfos mentions why is matonis mentioned separately from everything else. The reason is because the Mishnah wanted to mention dom and chaylev together, because dom and chaylev usually go together. In general, we talk about them, and they're both excluding that comes from an animal, they're both chayev kares, and therefore they're usually mentioned as a unit, so here also the Mishnah wanted to keep them together, and therefore it left Zoray L'chayayim B'keva for after. Okay. Fine. She also Robin Amar of Yechanan. So far what we've been saying is that Rav Huna bar Chiya is saying that a koi is only, you're only chayav to give half the matonis. On the other hand, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Yechanan, he said in the name of Rav Yechanan, koi l'rabbanon chayav b'kula matonis. No, according to the Rabbanon, we wouldn't say that it's only chayav in half. We would say according to the Rabbanon, against Rav Eliezer, it's chayav in all the matonis. The Tanya, as we learn in a bright, and in fact, the Ram says it may not
have to do with Robin.
What do you mean, what does it have to do?
Kiyasa Robin.
When Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, Robin is an Amora.
Yeah.
When he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he used to travel back and forth.
So he related to them.
So whenever he came to Bavel, he would relate to them what was being learned in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. You have him, you have Reb Dimi, you have a number of other chachamim who used to do that. They would travel back and forth. So when Robin, so it's such a regular thing, and throughout Shas that you have, we had one version of a story that Robin told and another version that Rabdimi told about the guy who didn't wash my machronim, and whether he killed his wife, whether he divorced her, and the Gemara used this thing as a simon for it, because it's a known thing throughout Shas that always Rav Dimi was the first one to come, and later on Robin would come and supplement the information that Rav Dimi had given. So it was always a known thing. You have Rav Dimi and then Robin, and therefore the Gemara uses
first
it.
First Rav Dimi went to Bavel, and then
first Rav Dimi would come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and later on Robin would follow with more information. So therefore the Gemara uses it over there as a simon, like this way you can remember that Rav Dimi is the one who said that he divorced her, and Robin is the one who said he killed her, because you can imagine both things happened. You couldn't very well have killed her first and then divorced her, so therefore that helps you remember that Rav Dimi mentioned that he divorced her, and yeah. So we see that it was a known thing that Rav Dimi and Robin always come in this order, and yeah, so it's always throughout Shas, a commonplace thing that they're coming and reporting what Rav Yochanan or other Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael say. Okay, anyway, so he's saying, Koi l'rabbanon chayav b'kula matonis. According to the Rabbanon, a koi would actually be chayav in all the matonis, not just half like Rav Huna bar Chiya was saying. The Ram says it may not actually be a machloikas, we may actually be talking about a different kind of koi. Before we were talking about koi which is half sheep, half goat, and half gazelle, for example. Here we may be talking about the other kind of koi, which is a berry of a fnaasna, a creature that the chachamim themselves weren't sure whether it's a beim or a chaya, but it's an independent species.
When we speak of koi, we say gazelle and
so there's two definitions of koi that we learned back in the back on Dr. Daphine Test Daphay. Sometimes it means a hybrid of a goat and a deer or gazelle or whatever, yeah. And sometimes it's an independent species, which is a couple of different chachamim and various zoologists or whatever have different theories what exactly it might be. Maybe it's a buffalo, maybe it's whatever. Anyway, okay. So over here, Rabbi Yechanan might actually be talking about the second kind of koi. Okay. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braita, when the Pasuk says shur, now the Pasuk says that you have to take Zoray L'chayayim B'keva, the expression is when a person shechts an animal, im shur im se. So we're going to focus on why it says im twice. So it says shur. Ma tamadlema im shur. What does it add by the word im? Shur. L'rabba says akilayim. That comes to add also an animal that's a hybrid. So a hybrid of a shur and something else is also chayev in matam. What about se matamad lema im? Then it says se. So again, it could have said im shur se or whatever. Why does it say im se? L'rabba says a koi. So the Braisa says that comes to include a koi.
You said just now that the rabbi says a koi.
That's from im shur. So that's the thing. That's what brings around. That's one thing that brings around to say that the koi over here is not a kelayim, but rather the independent species, the buffalo or whatever it is. Okay. So anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you see from this braisa, we're not saying anything about half or whatever. So therefore, the implication is that they're chayiv in all of it, just like the kelayim is chayiv in all of it, because the kelayim comes from two different species that are both chayiv. For example, a sheep and a goat. The same way the koi would be chayiv in all of them. So the question is, Rabbi Eliezer, hi, im lomali. Okay, according to Rabbi Eliezer, though, who said that earlier on the Amud, that a koi, you're potter from matonis altogether. So according to him, what are you doing with one of the ims? The answer is mibar lelachalik. He says you need the im over there before seh to separate them, because otherwise if the pasuk had said that if a person shechts shur v'seh, for example, you'd think you only chayiv matonis if you shecht a shur and a seh. We had a similar concept before when we talked about oisav espinoi, that it has to spell it out, because otherwise you would think when it says the shur oiseh, if it didn't say oh, you would think that it's only chayiv if you shecht a shur and a seh. So the same thing over here, you would think you only chayiv if you shecht a shur and a seh, therefore it has to say im. To imply that's one or the other. If you shech the shur or you shech the seh. Okay, v'rabbanon l'chalik min olavu. Okay, where are the rabbanon loading this concept from? I mean, they also agree that you chayiv even if you only shech one animal. The answer is nafkalum me'eis zoyvchei zevach. They learn it from the fact that the pasuk says when a person shechs an animal, zevach means one animal. Otherwise, it could have said me'eis zoyvchei, and you wouldn't know whether it's one animal or a bunch. Since it says a zevach means even you only shech one animal, then you're chayiv. Fine, what is Rabbi Eliezer doing with those words?
It applies only to this type of gene, or
this is in the pasuk that we're talking about over here about Zeroy L'chayayim B'keva. Again, we have to remember the pasuk. We have to keep the pasuk in our head. This shall be the law for the kohenim from the people. From those who shecht an animal, im shur im seh, whether a shur or whether a seh, the nosam lachayin azroy lachayayim barakev, and they should give the kohen the matanis. It depends on Pasha Shrek. So here, the pasuk says, me'eis zoivchei hazevach. So the word hazevach is extra, and therefore it means, even if it's only one zevach, even if it's only one animal that's shechting. Okay. Fine, what is Rabbi Eliezer doing with these words? The answer is, he uses it to teach us the din that Rava says. The Omar Rava, namely Rava says, and we're going to learn this on Omar Beis, Hadin im hatabach. The din of the Kohen is with the butcher. Meaning, in other words, even if you have, let's say, a butcher, a shochet, whatever, is shechting an animal that doesn't belong to him, the koyan is entitled to go to the butcher and say, give me the zuri l'chayayim b'keva. Now, even if the animal doesn't belong to him. If the butcher is a yitzur, we'll talk about a koyan who's a butcher on our day. We'll get to that. But right now we're talking about, so you have one yitzur owns the animal, let's say, another yitzur is shechting it for him. So the Kohen can go to the second Yisrael, the Shurichet, and tell him, give me the Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva.
There are actually some
details in it that we've shown him talk about. I mean, we learned before, the owner does have Tovas Hanah, so one of the explanations actually is the Prima Godim says, it doesn't mean the butcher would do it unilaterally, but he would be obligated to go to the balabas, to the owner of the animal, and ask him, do you want to give the Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva to this Kohen, or do you have a different Kohen in mind? So Hadin HaTabach means that the responsibility is on the butcher to see to it that it gets given, or as the Prima Godim says, to go and check the balabas whether there's a different Kohen he wants to give it to. There's a different explanation. I think the Ritzva says that Hadin HaTabach just means that the din of Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva is chal right away when the animal is shechted. We don't say it's chal, for example, only when the meat is brought to his house or whatever. Yeah. Okay. The point is that the point is Rabbi Eliezer is learning that from the words Me'eis Zeroy Hazevach. Whereas the Chachamim say that you can learn both dinim from that. You can learn that, but you can also learn that it applies to even only one animal. And therefore, they don't need the word im for one animal, and therefore they have the word im available to teach us about a koi. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer would disagree with that.
Because he's using the word im,
l'chalit, to tell us what it means, if you shech either a shur or a say. Mishnah says, b'choshen is out of the mayor. If you have a b'chor that was mixed up with 100 other animals, now, we're talking about over here, Tosfos says, obviously, we must be talking about that all the animals in question over here are balei mum. because you're not allowed to shech the bechor while it's a tum. It's supposed to be brought as a carbon. Okay, we don't have bet mikdash nowadays, but you have to wait till it develops some more. And before you allow it. So nowadays in practice, if a person has a farm and they have a female animal that's likely to give birth to a bechor, in practice what they do is they do something somewhat similar to mechiras chametz, where you sell the mother, or you sell a share in the mother to the goy before the baby is born, and then the animal is processed in bechor. We'll learn about that in the fact of bechoras in a couple of weeks. Beis Hashem, we'll talk about the ins and outs of that. But you actually have, in the back of Shulchan Aruch, that whatever describes the details of Seder Mechiras Chametz.
And
what do you mean when there's no goy? So if there's no goy, so what do you do with chametz on Pesach then? So in this case, what you do with the bechor in that case is if the animal is born, it's a bechor. So fine, you have to leave it until eventually you let it graze, you let it wander around or whatever until it develops a moment. Eventually it dies and you bury it then. Yeah. Because it's also Bano. Okay. Fine. So in this case, we're talking about a Bechor Baal Mum. So therefore, you would be allowed to shecht it. On the other hand, it is potter from Matonis, as we've learned before. So now you have it mixed up with 100 other animals that are not Bechorim, and which are Chayiv in Zeroi L'Chayim. If you have 100 people shechting them, each person is shechting one, then Bizman Shemeya Shoshin es Kolon, Poitrim es Kolon, then they patter all of them. Because any one of them, if the Kohen comes to him and says, give me the Zeroi L'Chayayim L'Keva, he can tell the Kohen, how do you know? This one might be the Bechor. And therefore, again, I'm Moitzim Machaveh Olav Rav. On the other hand,
in that case, you can tell the Kohen, we don't know which one it is.
Right, and therefore you're not entitled to anything, right? Yeah. On the other hand, Echad Shechet es Kolon. On the other hand, if you have one person shechting all the animals, Poitrim Loi Echad, then it means that one of them is Potter from Zeroi L'Chayayim B'Keva, but only one. So if you have 100 animals, of which one is a Bechor, and the other one and the other 99 are not, and you have one person shechting them, the Kohen is going to be entitled to 99 sets of Zeroi L'Chayayim B'Keva. Or not one Kohen, as we'll see later in the Gemara. You don't give it all to one Kohen, but whatever. The point is the Kohenim, the Shevet, collectively are entitled to 99 out of 100. You're only Potter from one. Actually, the Chassam Sofer brings up a point over here that Minas Hora, the animal would be bottle, because in Minas Hora, you have a concept of Bittul Beroi. But the reason why we don't want to apply that over here, the reason why we would rather say in the case where you have 100 people shechting and that all of them are going to be potter, because if we were going to make them chayev, the people would think the bechor really is bottle, and therefore that you're allowed to do whatever you want with it. It already has a mum, but for example, that you'd be allowed to shear it, that you'd be allowed to work with it, that you could sell the meat in the normal way and not like you do with the meat of a bechor. If you were to say that the animal is bottle and therefore all of them should be chayev and zeroi l'chayayim b'keva, then people would say, well, then you could, then it's not a bechor, obviously. So then, yeah. And we don't want them to do that, and therefore the chachamim would rather deny the kohenim, the zeroi l'chayayim b'keva, rather than have people treat a bechor carefully. Okay.
But can you say that it's not a bechor, it's still a bechor?
That's the thing. So obviously there's one animal in the mix over here that is a bechor. We don't know which one it is, but in terms of zeroi l'chayayim b'keva, they're all going to be possible. Okay. If a person is shechting an animal for a kohen or for a goy, potter min ha-matanis, then he's potter from the matanis. If he's shechting it for a kohen, then the kohen himself is entitled to take the matanis, because the animal belongs to the kohen. And if he's shechting it for a goy, then the goy is also not obligated to matanis. On the other hand, if a person is joining in a partnership with a kohen or with a goy, he has to make a mark. Now, what kind of mark? Rashi and Tosfos say that we're talking about over here, there was some kind of known kind of mark that you could make in those days that would demonstrate that this doesn't belong all to meat. So people should know that this meat doesn't all belong to Yisrael, because otherwise, what's going to happen is that later on, he doesn't give Zeroi L'Chayayim B'Keva, and people are going to say he's being over on the din. So like this, you have to make some kind of mark so that people, when people see the meat, when people see the side of beef hanging over there or whatever, they'll know that this is a special thing. The Rambam learns Tzorach Lushem differently. The Rambam learns Tzorach Shiyushem differently. He learns that you actually have to make marks on the meat for the point where the Zroya is, where the L'Chayayim is, and where the Keva is, to say, in other words, that these parts are not part of our partnership. These parts are excluded from our partnership.
On all the three parts?
On all the three parts, yeah. Now, what happens in another case? If a Yisrael, if a Kohen says to a Yisrael, "I'm selling you this animal, except for the matonis," and I'm reserving the matonis for myself. So then, potter min matonis. So he's potter from the matonis because then the Yisrael is potter from the matonis because they still belong to the Kohen, and the Kohen takes them for himself.
He said he's selling except
for the matonis, right? Here's another case. Omar Mchorli Bnei Me'er Shalpora, we had this yesterday. If a person says to a butcher, sell me the inner organs of a cow, Vahoyu Behen Matonis, and it turns out there's matonis among them, because the kaver is part of the inner organs. Noisin on the Kohen, he has to give that kaver or whatever else is in there to the Kohen. The Einim and Nakalim in Adam, he's not entitled to a reduction in the price, because we said there he wasn't selling that. That was sort of thrown into the freebie because it didn't belong to him in the first place. The Lachan, Imen Abamishko, on the other hand, if he bought it by weight, then the butcher, whoever sold it to him, is doing wrong because he's selling something that doesn't belong to him. Noisin on the Kohen, so the Yisrael still has to give it to the Kohen. Or Menakulim and Adamim, but then the butcher has to deduct it from the price, has to reimburse him for that, because he wasn't entitled to sell it to him.
How can you weigh it?
What do you mean, how can you weigh it? You weigh all the internal organs, you find they weigh 100 pounds, so therefore you're paying $100 for it. Later on, it turns out the caver weighs 5 pounds, so now you have to deduct $5. Okay, so in the first case of the Mishnah, where we said, again, you have a b'chor that got mixed up with 100 regular animals, we said that if different people are shechting the different animals, then each one can fob off the kohen on the other one and say, well, the one that I'm shechting might be this b'chor. So the question is about mine. Now, why should that be so? Yavo olav kohen mishneitz dodim. On the face of it, the kohen
refuses.
How could it be that the Kohen is, how could it be that the, oh, before we start the Gemara, by the way, Torah just points out over here a point about this case we said in the Mishnah that if you have a partnership with a Kohen or with a Goy, then we're saying that you have to mark off that this meat doesn't fully belong to me, or you have to mark off the Zeroy L'chayayim the favor or whatever. Torah says we just learned in the Gemara before that when you have an animal that's a hybrid, a Koi, the first kind of Koi, then we said you're only chayiv in half of the matonis, because even though we had Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that you're chayiv in all, the halacha is like Rav Huna Bar Chiya, that you're only chayiv in half. So in that case, why don't we say the same thing over here? He's only chayiv in half the matonis because he has a partnership. And the difference is, Tosa says, because over there, the point is, we're saying that you have to give from the set. All of the set part of this animal is chayiv in matonis. Therefore, that half, the set half of it is chayiv. Over here, what it is not all of the set part of it is chayiv, because part of it belongs to the kohen or part of it belongs to the goy. So it's a different situation. It's sort of like a gavra versus chesed distinction in a certain sense.
Here
the point is, in other words, that even within the set part of the animal itself, not all of it is chayiv, as opposed to over there, the entire set part is chayiv. You just have a short part that's maybe not set. Fine. So the Gemara says v'amai. Why in the first case of the Mishnah, with the Bechor mixed up with the other animals, why is each one of them able to push off the Kohen and say the animal that I'm shechting is a Bechor? Yavoi olav Kohen mishneitz dodim. Why shouldn't the Kohen be able to come to him with a manav shechor argument? Either way you look at it, I should be entitled to these. V'leimalei should say to him like this, e Bechor hu, if this animal is a Bechor, kulei didi hu, then the whole thing belongs to me, because that's what Yisrael is supposed to do with a Kohen, with a Bechor, give it to the Kohen. The e lav b'choru, and if it's not a b'choru, havli mat nasoi, then give me my matonis. So why is each one of them able to tell them I don't owe you anything?
If he's a b'choru, then the whole
animal. If the animal is a b'choru, then the whole thing belongs to the kohen. If not, then the zera l'chayim b'keira belongs to the kohen. No, if not, then the zera l'chayim b'keira belongs to the kohen. So why is each person of 100 people able to tell the kohen, I don't owe you anything? The answer is Amar of Oshia, but Bali J Koyin and Macher Li Yisrael B'Mumay. The case of our Mishnah is where the Bechor was already in the hands of the Koyin, then it developed a mum. Then he sold it to a Yisrael with the mum, Macher Li Yisrael B'Mumay. Where you're allowed to do that because a Koyin can sell a Bechor Baal Mum to a Yisrael because the meat of the Bechor Baal Mum is not. We'll learn the details about it in Bechor, in the next couple of months. But the meat of the Bechor is not in principle also to a Yisrael.
But But it is also so calling.
No, it is not. No. We're talking about Bechor Baal Mum. So it's a Bechor Baal Mum. You're supposed to give it to the Kohen.
Right.
When there's a Bais HaMikdash, it's brought to the Kohen, and immediately eaten by the Kohen. When there's no Bais HaMikdash, then it's also the property of the Kohen. You give it to the Kohen, and eventually it develops a mum, and the Kohen then shechts and eats it. But at that point, it's not something that has Kedusha to the extent that a Yisrael is not allowed to eat it. So he's able to sell it to a Yisrael. So now, that's what we're talking about over here, where he sold it. Well, it is. No, it is. It still is a Bechor. It still has the dinim of a Bechor for certain other purposes. You're still not allowed to shear it and work with it. You're still not allowed to sell its meat in the butcher shops or by weight or whatever. There's a number of dinim. We'll learn about it in Bechor, especially. But the point is that, so now, again, it was in the hands of the Kohen. He then sold it to Yisrael. So fine, now it's the Yisrael's property. Now, again, it's still potter from Zerui L'Chayayi V'Keva because it still has the dinim of Bechor, and therefore the Kedusha of the Bechor prevents the dinim of So now, though, if it gets mixed up with other animals, that's the case of our Mishnah, where now if 100 people are shechting those animals, and each one of them can say to the Kohen who comes to the Zerui L'Chayayi V'Keva, I don't necessarily owe it to you, because maybe the animal's a Bechor, but if it is, then you don't have any rights to it, because the Kohen already had it and sold it to Yisrael. Maybe it's not a Bechor, fine, but prove that this one isn't a Bechor, and I'll give you the Zerui L'Chayayi V'Keva. And he can't do it. Okay. Then the Mishnah had said, Ashoichot the Kohen al Ovid Gachavim. We said if a person shechts an animal for a Kohen or for a Goy, potter min a Matonis, then they're potter from Matonis. And by the way, the reason is because the reason is we learned yesterday. We talked about the whole concept of who is considered part of the Om. So we discussed whether Leviim are included or not. The Yisraelim definitely are included. Goyim are definitely not included, and Koyanim are not included either, because Koyanim are a separate entity. We know that in that whole thing when we were talking about the Pirate of Sir of Yom Kippur, we said the Koyanim definitely have a kapara of their own. Bala Koyanim, Bala Kol Amah Kol Yechaper. So the Koyanim are excluded from Om.
So you should say the term about
Levi, the
separate
also. That was a discussion, whether they're considered part of Om or not. But the point is, so a Kohen or Goy are potter from Matanis because they're not part of Om. So the question is, why is the Mishnah phrasing it this way, that if a Yisrael is shechting it for the Kohen or for the Goy, he's potter from Matanis, why not the litany Kohen but to call him Turim Matanis? Why not just say straight out that a Kohen or a Goy are potter from Matanis? The answer is Omar Robbers.
I can't believe that a Kohen is not part of Om.
The word Om means the general run of the Jewish people, so to speak. The Kohenim are a separate thing from that. In fact, obviously we're part of the Jewish people, but as far as the definition of Om for this purpose, and as far as the Kapara of Yom Kippur, they're their own separate entity. And by the way, there's a Gemara in Pesachim that mentions when we say Abdullah, when we say the Bracha Amavdur Ben Kodesh L'Chol, We mentioned there four things that Hashem made separations in the world. Ben Kodesh L'Chol, Ben Or L'Choshech, Ben Yisrael La'amin, Ben Yem Hashvi L'Shesh L'Me'amayitza. Each of those, in some place in Tanakh, is described that Hashem made a separation.
Ben Yisrael La'amin, so that means...
Yeah, one's on. The Gemara mentions in Pesachim that you're actually allowed to add more. You would be allowed to have as many as seven of them. And if you were going to add more, then there would be also the distinctions between Kohenim and Leviim, and between Leviim and Yisraelim, where you have a pasuk that mentions that the Leviim were separate. We have a pasuk that mentions that the Kohenim were separated out by Yibodol Aaron like Yishak Kodesh Kadoshim. So we see that the Kohenim are separated out from the general run of the Jewish people. So that's what we're saying. They're not considered just part of the generic term Om. They are part of the collective Jewish people, obviously, but they have their own individual status. So anyway, so the question is, why is the Mishnah not saying that a Kohen or a Goy themselves are potter? Why mention it in terms of the Yisrael who's shechting for them? And Omar Rava. So Rava says, as we just looked before, Zayt Meres Hadinim Ataba. From here we see that the Kohen has the right to go to the Shoichot himself and demand the Matonis, and it's the Shoichot's responsibility to see to it that they're given out, to check with the owner whether he wants to give it to the Kohen, etc. But yeah, that's why the Mishnah puts it in terms of the person who's checking it for them. Okay. Dorash Rava. Okay. Rava Darshan as follows. How do we know this concept? Because the positive is me'ez ha'om, v'loy me'ez ha'koyim. Again, the word me'ez ha'om means that means to exclude the koyim. So apparently the koyim are not called om. However, then when the pasuk continues, that zroy l'chayayim v'keva comes from anybody who shechts an animal, and without specifying who, heavy omer after the tabach koyin mamashma. So then you have to say that it includes also a shochet who is a koyin. So in other words, Rashi says what it means is, and as the Gemara is going to talk about now, it means there's a distinction. If the is the koyin shechting for himself, or is he shechting, is he setting himself up as a commercial butcher who's going to be shechting and selling meat to other people? So then what we're saying is that in the first case, you'd be Peter. In the second case, you would be Chayim. So Rashi is learning over here that what it means is that Rava is saying that's actually Daraisa. That if the Koyan is going to be a regular butcher, then he's actually Chayim Daraisa. Tosfos question. So to give Zerah L'Chayim L'Kayim to another Koyan. Tosfos questions that a little bit based on the continuation of the Gemara over here that says that there are different details in it. So therefore Tosfos says that actually no, it's Takana of the Chacham. Minatora, either way he'd be chayev, but the Chachamim made a Takana. Minatora, he wouldn't be chayev, sorry. But the Chachamim will misak him that if he's going to be a commercial butcher, then yes. Okay. So here's a case. Ushbezichne did a tavla koyin haba. The landlord or the landlord of Rav Tavla. Ushbezichne actually doesn't mean a landlord so much. It means so it's related to the word ushbezichne. It means a guest. So the host of Rav Tavla. It means basically a lot of times you have that the chachamim would go out of town to learn and they would board by people. So basically ushbezichne means the person he's boarding by. So it's sort of a landlord, but not really. It's like the person he's boarding by. Anyway, whatever. Koyin haba. This person was a koyin. The haba dochik le milsa. Now he was very poor. He was having a hard time making ends meet. Also the kamei de Rav Tavla. So he came to Rav Tavla, his tenant or his boarder, to ask him for advice. Amalei. So Rav Tavla tells him, Zil ishtatif bahadi tavchi Yisrael. You being a koyin, go make a partnership with the local butchers, the local shochtim, who are Yisraelim. That way your partnership will potter them from having to give Zroel Chayim Bakeva. Because we said in the Mishnah that if you're a partner with a Koyan or with a Goy, then you don't have to give it. So therefore, and because of that, Mishtatzi Bahadach, in return for that, they're going to be willing to be your partners. And that way you'll be able to make some money off it. Okay. On the other hand, Chayim. In other words, you can tell them, if you partner with me, you have something to gain, because then I'll be part owner of the animal, and then you want to give Zerah L'Chayim B'Keva, so therefore, yeah, you'll get something out of it. On the other hand, Chayvei Rav Nachman. On the other hand, Rav Nachman, though, went and was Mechayev, so this guy, the landlord, went and did that, and then, however, Rav Nachman required the Yisrael, the Shochet, to give the Zerah L'Chayim B'Keva afterwards. Amalei, so this landlord says, what are you doing? Bar Rav Tavla Patron. Rav Tavla, my tenant, said I'm Patron. Rav Tavla, rather, the tenant of my partner, the Koyan, this is the Yisrael, saying to Rav Nachman, why am I Chayiv? Amalei, so Rav Nachman tells him, tough luck. Zil Apik, take them out of your possession and give them to the Koyan. The Eloyan, if you don't, Makpikna Lach Rav Tavla Me'unach. I will take Rav Tavla out of your ear. In other words, Rashi says, in other words, Kaloi Makol Ra Yosef, Vasa Yosef Em Kaloi, any of his proofs or any of his supports that he tries to bring for his din, I will slug him up, I will wipe him out, and then, you have this expression, Makik Nalach, so-and-so me unach, and in different places, Rashi and other Rishonim talk about different possibilities. It means he's saying, I'm going to put you in cherem. It means like I'll pull him out of your ear, as if you can't listen to him anymore. Or unach can also mean your strength. So like you think you have your strength because you're relying on him. I'll take away that strength of yours. Whatever the point is, in other words, don't rely on Rav Tavla. All the Rav Tavla, Kamei de Rav Nachman. So Rav Tavla personally then goes to Rav Nachman to find out what's going on over here. Omale my time of admirachi, Rebbe, why are you doing like that? Isn't it true that if the koyin is a partner, then it should be potter? Omale, so Rav Nachman tells him because it's not so simple. Dechi oser of Acha b'Chanina midroya. When Rav Acha b'Chanina came from the south, meaning from the south of Eretz Yisrael, Omer Rabbi Shur ben Levi. So he said that Rabbi Shur ben Levi had said, Zikne Dorim Omru, the Chachamim of the south of Eretz Yisrael said, Koyen Talach, a Koyen who is a Shochet, Shayim v'sholosh shabbosos potur min hamatonis. The first 2 or 3 weeks that he's doing this, that he is shechting, he's potur from matonis. Mikam ze'elah chayiv matonis. From then on, he's chayiv. So in this case, this landlord of yours is a permanent partner of these guys. So therefore, he's chayiv anymore. Yeah. So this is where Tosfos says, if you're going to say like Rashi, that the point that when a Kohen is shechting for other people, or in this case, when he's a partner with a Shechting, that it's Chayiv Daraisa, one thing Tosfos says, how does a Kavla not know such a thing? So therefore, that's part of what leads Tosfos to say, that it must be a Takana of the Chachamim. Okay, so the Kavla didn't know of a Takana of the Chachamim. That's not so harsh to say. Okay.
But it's not Midaraisa.
According to Tosfos, it's not Midaraisa.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so the question is, Reb Tavla asks, "V'lev le'mar mias kirav acha b'chanina." Okay, so at least give up the 2 or 3 weeks, like Reb Acha b'chanina says. Amalei, so Reb Nachman tells him, even that won't work. Hani mili to like cover masachta. That only applies where the kohen has not set up a butcher shop, a regular place where he's going to be shechting and selling to the public. Aval hocha to cover masachta.
Then you give him a few weeks.
Right. So if he starts off like an ad hoc basis, he's shechting in his house, and it so happens he's selling to customers, then fine, we'll give him 2 or 3 weeks that will allow him to not give the matonis and keep them for himself. After that, already it's more of a long term thing. So then, even if he's just selling out of his house, we'll make him give him to another client. But if he sets up a store, then right away he's chayim. Aval hocha could cover masachta. Here he's setting up a store because he's partnering with these guys, so it doesn't work. By the way, this is very negaya to the question of this whole thing is very negaya to the question of Zroel Chayayim Bekeva nowadays. You really don't see people doing Zroel Chayayim Bekeva nowadays. Now, why is that? So first of all, at the beginning of the next parak, we're going to... If it was something that was definitely required, then the Chachamim would make sure that everybody knows about it, the same way as we wouldn't know a lot of other halachas if the Rabbanim didn't remind us of them. No. First of all, at the beginning of the next parak, the Gemara brings an opinion that Reishis HaGeiz and Zroel HaChayayim B'Keva don't apply outside Eretz Yisrael. So not everybody agrees to that. In fact, you have some Rishonim who understand that Gemara to be saying that only Reishis HaGeiz is only Noyeg in Eretz Yisrael, but Zroel HaChayayim B'Keva is Noyeg everywhere. However, and you see from the various Gemaras over here, for example, Rav Pavla and Rav Nachman are in Babel. But nevertheless, you have Rishonim who understand it to mean that there is an opinion in the Gemara that Zroel Chayayim B'Keva are not noyig outside Eretz Yisrael, and in Shulchan Aruch it mentions that people are noyig that way. People have accepted the minhag to do that way. So that takes care of outside Eretz Yisrael. As far as in Eretz Yisrael, it's actually not so simple because we see from all Gemara over here you can't just partner with a kohen or a goy to be potter from it. So one thing that's brought up why it is that they don't do it nowadays is because we don't have anybody who is definitely a kohen. All of our kohenim nowadays are only kohen and chazak. So fine. For example, Pidyon HaBen or whatever, then fine. You know, we take them. You know, we take them at their word that they're a kohen, and we give them the 5.
Can I be a kohen today for sure?
There's nobody who to be a kohen for sure. To be what's called kohen yichus, you would have to have documentary evidence that your ancestor was a kohen who served in the Beit Mikdash, which means that he was vetted by the Sanhedrin. Nobody has that after 1900 years ago. Okay. Omer of Chisda. If a kohen does not separate out the matonis to give to a different kohen, he should be in cherem of Hashem. Amar Rav Bar Shila, if he doesn't give the matonis to another kohen. Amar Rav Bar Shila, you should know. Here's an example. Hani Tabchi de Hutzel, you should know. The Shochtim of Hutzel, which is the name of a city in Babel, Kaim B'Shamta de Rav Chista ha'Estin v'Tarotin Shnin. They're already under, they should already, for the last 20, it's already 22 years that they should be under the Chedim of Rav Chista, because they're not giving Matnas Torah.
And?
So that's the question. Well, my Hilchta, why is it important to tell us that 22 years have already passed? Is Rabbi Bar Rav Shila saying that by now already it's too late? We're not going to bother. We based in are not going to bother putting them in Chayim. Can't be. But Tanya, we learn in a Braisa that you have the Braisa talks about that when you have cases where Beis Din doesn't punish a person for being over on certain loisases, for example, where the loisase involves mitzvah or chorus, because commonly the Rabbi Minei, So then Beis Din doesn't give him malchus. But the Braisa says, when does that apply to mitzvah lo yisaseh, that if it's not one where Beis Din is supposed to give him malchus and they don't, avol b'mitzvah saseh, but when it comes to... What do you mean, like ours? What are you talking about? That's what we're talking about. Avol mitzvah saseh, right? Kigoin omim lo yaseh sukkah v'ena oisa. For example, if Beis Din tells a person make a sukkah and he doesn't make it, or aseh lulav v'ena oisa, or we tell him to make himself a lulav, to shake lulav on sukkahs and he doesn't want to, where Rashi explains these are the kind of mitzvahs that there's not so much chisor and kis in them. Nowadays a lulav and esrog costs quite a bit of money, but in principle, in those days, they didn't have to necessarily. So those kinds of things. If he doesn't want to, or say tzitzis vein oisa, or we tell him to put on tzitzis and he doesn't want to,
makinos
agitates the nafshas. Then Beis Din can agitate the nafshas. Beis Din can hit him, agitate the nafshas. Yeah, you have your rishonim will say it doesn't mean. Your rishonim will say it means ad v'loy ad v'chol. Doesn't mean they can actually kill him with the blows. It just means they can hit him as much as is necessary in order to force him to do the mitzvah. Yeah, there's a number of different opinions among Rishonim. Are we talking about are we talking about hitting him in order to force him to do the mitzvah, or are we talking about hitting him to punish him, or are we talking about that they would be allowed to hit him, literally agitate the nafsha until he dies, or maybe not quite that point. The point is, so obviously, therefore, they could also put him in cheirem. So what if these butchers haven't been giving the Masonic Torah for 22 years? Why shouldn't we put them in cheirem now? No, so the Gemara says, what Rabbi Bar Rav Shila wants to inform us by telling us that it's now 22 years that they haven't been giving this, and therefore that they're under a chayram that Rav Chista had said, the nafkamina of it is, the kansinin lahu beloy asraisa. We can now penalize them for that without having to warn them. Yeah, they don't need warning at this point because we already know that they know very well what they're doing. Yeah, they're aware of it. As we find, for example, that Rava, when somebody refused to give the Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva, then Rava would penalize the person by taking away from him the entire side of the animal. Instead of like this, the Zeroya is only part of the foreleg, so instead he would take away the entire thigh, which is a much bigger piece of meat. So he would take that away and give... Yeah, because they would take out the Gidanosha. I mean, in principle, you could do that now also. It's very hard to try to do it, but yeah. Rav Nachman Leitzchok konis glima. Rav Nachman Leitzchok would penalize the person by taking away a garment. So we see, therefore, that there is this concept of penalizing a person for not giving Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva. And again, this gets into the question of whether it's Noyag and Chutzlar. So that Tosfos points out later on in the Sugya where it mentions this opinion that's Potter and Chutzlar. So Tosfos points out over here, you have Rava and Rav Nachman both live in Bavel. And yet we see they're canceling people for not giving it, implying that they held that it's chayiv.
Bavel was considered pure chutzlaret.
Yeah, it's chutzlaret. Yeah.
Syria was not.
Yeah, Syria is half chayiv. Okay, fine. Va'omer of Chista. Then Rav Chista says, here's another din as far as Zroya L'Chayayim Akeva. Zroya L'Echad. Now you don't have to give the whole Zroya L'Chayayim Akeva to one kohen. In fact, you shouldn't necessarily be giving it all to one kohen. So zroya la'echad, the zroya you should give to one kohen, the keva la'echad, the keva you can also give to one kohen, l'chayayim l'shayim, the cheek, which includes also the tongue, which is much larger, that you give it to two kohenim. And you have different rishonim discuss the question, are we saying you have to do it that way, or are we saying you could give it all to one kohen if you want? The Rav Yonasan Ivershitz mentions in one of his Sfarim, say for Kreisi or Plaisi, he mentions that his son-in-law at one point had a pinyon at him for his son. So of course, Rav Yonasan Ivershitz himself is not a kohen, neither was his son-in-law. So his son-in-law had a baby boy, so they had to do a pinyon at him. So of course, he's going to give five slimes to the kohen. He's also making a sudder for it, and he shechted an animal, and he was going to follow the opinion that you have to do Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva and give it to the kohen, even in Chutz La'aretz. So now the question became, should he give it to the same kohen that he's doing the pinyon aben with? And there's a discussion, because should you be giving all your matnas kohona to one kohen? There's a gemara elsewhere that implies that's not necessarily such a good thing to do it, you should spread it around a bit. So our gemara also bears on this also.
Do you have to give five times plus Zeroy L'Chayayim?
No. Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva is a separate thing. If you're shechting an animal.
Right.
Yeah, they're two different matnas kohona. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Aini, is that so? That, for example, the Zeroya you have to give dafka to one kohen? When Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he's also one of the Chachamim from Eretz Yisrael who used to regularly travel to Babel. So he said,
after Rabbi,
I don't remember if the order was before or after of Dimi. I think after, but I'm not sure. Anyway, Omar, he says, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, we split it up. Every bone individual, every bone, we divide into two and give it and give it. So therefore, so you see that even the Zoya, you can give to multiple kainim.
You can cut it in half.
You can cut it in half. The answer is Hosam b'detoyah. That's talking about an ox. An ox has a very big Zoya. So even you divide it in half, there's still a decent amount to give to a kohen. On the other hand, a sheep, let's say, if you divide the zroya in half, it's not considered nesina malyasa. It's not considered a nice giving. The Torah says, "Venos on the kohen," so that's be nesina yafe. That's be a nice chosh of a kind of gift. So therefore, in the case of a sheep or a goat, you give them the whole thing. But in the case of an ox, yeah, you can divide it in two. Okay. Another din. Amar Rav Balachana, Amar Rav Yeshanan. You're not allowed to eat from an animal that the matonites have not been taken off of. And in that connection, Omer Rav
maybe not in Sosara.
Right. Omer Rav Bavachana Omer Rav Yechanan, and also Omer Rav Bavachana Omer Rav Yechanan, also Rav Bavachana says in the name of Rav Yechanan, Kola Oichum Behema Shalehum Matneseh, if a person does eat from an animal that the Matanis will not take it off of, Ke'ilu Oichot Tvolim, it's as if he's eating Tevol. However, the Gemara says, V'las Hilch Takabaseh. However, the Halacha is not like that. Now, locha is not like that. It's true you are supposed to give the zroy l'chayayim v'kever to the kohen. However, it's not considered like eating tevel if you eat it before they're taken off. And a reason for that, that Rishonim give is when it comes to tevel, there's no particular grains of wheat or fruits or what have you that are going to be designated as truma. Any one compile could be designated. Therefore, you have to separate it out first. As opposed to over here, there's a defined part of the animal that's the zroy. There's a defined part that's the kever and so forth. And therefore, it's not really like tevel in that sense. So you're talking not to...
It's not very different.
No, it's much different, because that's the point. When it comes to wheat, this grain might end up being truma, or this one. There's no particular one that has, as opposed to over here, the zroya is the zroya. It is what it is. It's the four leg of the animal. The k, the chayim, are what they are. They're yeah. So therefore, so now we learned. We'll talk about it at the end of the paragraph. We'll talk about what parts of the animal exactly are the zroya, the chayim, the keva. We'll get to that. But anyway, the point is that now we learned earlier in the Masechta, we mentioned over there about Yechezkel telling Hashem how careful he's always been in the halachas of kosher food and kosher and not kosher food. And we mentioned over there the opinion of Reb Nosson that Yechezkel was saying, I never ate from an animal that the matonites were not taken off of. So the point is, Tosfos says over there, now, according to Rav Baba Chana, there doesn't seem to be much of a chiddush in that. You're anyway not allowed to, because we're saying it's like eating tevel. But the answer is that, Tosfos says that, because after all, for example, if a Kohen has produce, it's true he himself is allowed to eat the truma, but he still has to designate it first. He still has to separate it out first. He still has to designate it first. Then he can eat it, because he's a Kohen.
What is he supposed to designate?
If a Kohen has a pile of grain, for example, he has to designate 2% of it as truma, 10% of it. This part is truma. This part is my tradition, et cetera, fine. Then he can eat the truma. But then he can eat the truma because he's a kohen. But he can't eat it as tevel. Right. So over here, then, if we say that if you eat from an animal without matonis being taken out, then it's like eating tevel. Then what's Yechezkel priding himself on? Obviously, there's no chiddush that he kept the halacha. The Torah says, okay, Rabbi Yechanan evidently Rabbi Yechanan over here would disagree with Rabbi Nosson over there. He would say that Yechezkel was not saying that he didn't do that. He was saying that there was another milo that he didn't do. We said over there we had two opinions when he said over there, what was the expression? We had two explanations. One is that he said, I never ate from an animal that a rob had to pass skin on, that is kosher. And the other was that he never ate from an animal that matonis hadn't been taken. So Rabbi Yochanan of Or Gemara evidently would hold like the first opinion that he's saying, I never ate from behemah shahor bachos. Because he would hold there's no chiddush in Yechezkel saying, I never ate from an animal, shalehomu mat nesel, because the coins of Rabbi Yochanan attack also too.
And there's no chiddush also, I'm saying, shalehomu.
No, that's the point. Again, Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here that if a person eats from an animal, shalayhumu matneser, is like eating tevel.
Right.
If we understand it that way, then Yechezkel cannot possibly be saying, you should know, look how careful I've always been. I never did that, because obviously there's no chiddush that Yechezkel kept everything that's an actual black letter halacha. So therefore, we would have to say that Yechezkel, instead of saying that I never ate from an animal that a rov had to pass in that is kosher. But on the other hand, given that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan, then we can say that Yechezkel was saying that I never ate from an animal shaloi homo mat nitzeach. Because even though you're, because it's not considered tevel, you would be allowed to eat from it, even though you're not really supposed to. So therefore, Yechezkel can say I was always careful about that.